they sustain us. We are in your presence now, and we thank you for your presence and your touch. We ask, oh God, for your blessing upon what we do here tonight, that we may honor you with our worship and our prayer and our praise, that your blessing would be upon the man of God, Brother Jacobs, and upon every one who comes into the house of God, that your name and your word will be revealed to each soul that comes here, that as we leave this place, we'll know that we have been in the presence of God and that we have the joy of the Lord, that we can make a difference in the world around us. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. We want to welcome all of our guests. We're glad that you're with us. We would like to connect with you. And again, I'm so used to having everything in front of me. You can connect with us on the Bitly link. If you're here in the house, you can take a moment and meet with one of our ushers or someone at the kiosk in the vestibule. We have a small gift for you just to show you our appreciation. If you're wanting to give, you can give in the offering box on the kiosk. You can mail it in for those of you online, or you can go to our website, or here you can give in person at the kiosk, or you can go on a church app. It's called Church Center. If you don't have that on your phone yet, you can talk to anyone on the staff, and we can help you get the Church Center app going on your telephone. Amen. This Sunday is All Nations Sunday. Now, we had our All Nations Sunday service during our Summer Fun Fest, but it is an annual offering that's taken up by the United Pentecostal Church. We have a video, I hope, to give a little bit of an explanation about that at this time. Amen. We have been taking this offering here at Calvary Gospel Church for several years now, and in our district as well. I just want to say that ever since I've been involved in this, Calvary Gospel Church has been the leader in the offering, has given more than any other church. So I hope that we can continue to lead the district in this area. It's a great ministry. You remember when African International Ministries began, it was in part because of the help that we had from Multicultural Ministries with a multicultural missionary that is here. So keep that in mind for Sunday morning. All Nations Sunday offering will be taken. This Saturday, October 21st, will be Ladies Conference, Calvary Gospel Church's Lady Conference. Special speaker, Kami Giwa from Waukesha, along with breakout sessions led by Reverend Linda Brown and Ernestine Mollett. I talked to Sister Mollett, and she said she's ready to preach, so just so you know. This Saturday, October 21st, in the evening, their Building Bridges Connection Group will meet in Sun Prairie at 5 o'clock, and there will be a hyphen bonfire from 5 to 8 at Nate and Lauren Neesom's house. Bring a friend, bring a chair, and a dish to pass. Make sure you do that in the right order. You don't want to pass your friend. So, Holy Ghost Sunday, October 29th. If you know someone who needs their life changed forever, invite them to Holy Ghost Sunday. Invitation cards are available in the vestibule by the coat room as you exit the sanctuary. There's also generic invitation cards there. You'll see it if you go out the middle door. I can see it from here. Invite someone. Our special speakers will be, I just drew a blank on Sister Vernon's first name. Brother and Sister Vernon will be our special speakers for Holy Ghost Sunday. Thank you. Sunday morning, we'll also have a special speaker. Brother Ahi Giwa will be speaking here on Sunday morning. So it's going to be an exciting weekend, a lot going on. You can be a part of it. Invite someone. Let's worship the Lord.
You deserve the glory and the as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you Promise and he won't stop now. Hallelujah.
Sweet presence in the place tonight. I like that song. I don't know that I've heard it before, but maybe you've sang it or we've sang it, and I just didn't even know it. So great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you could stand with me, I just want to, before we get into the word of the Lord, I just want to thank Brother Peter Sandin and Sister Casey for a tremendous job this past weekend in our marriage family focus weekend. Thank you so very much. This week up in Elkhart Lake has been district planning, where the district board and all the department heads for the state of Wisconsin get together and put together the calendar and such for the next year. And typically our presbyters go to that. They get worn out by board meetings and they go home. But our presbyter decided to stop by here on his way home and have church with us. And it is such an honor to have my friend, Brother Scott Jacobs. And I said, "You're going to preach tonight, aren't you?" "Oh, I didn't come to preach." I said, "Well, I know that. You're just visiting." But it's a rare treat that we get to have our presbyter in service with us, and he has a very, very busy schedule. He pastors two churches, plus works a full-time job in Mankato, Minnesota, which is a little bit of a 3.5-hour commute every week. But it's an honor to have my friend, Brother Scott Jacobs, and he's going to speak to us tonight. Brother Scott Jacobs.
Isn't the Lord good? So give honor to your pastor and his wife. Sister Grant, my wife loves you very much. We love you folks. And thank you for the times in which you allow your pastor to hang out with me and you share him with me. Thank you very much. But I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord. I love this church. I love what I feel here. We serve a great God. Amen. Amen. If you would, while you remain standing, turn with me to Psalms chapter 23. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Aren't you glad God is with you no matter where you go? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Where two or three are gathered there in the midst, I will be also. I'm never alone because goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I'm so glad of God's promise. One chapter just before that, in verse number 3, Psalms 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. This is where we coin the phrase, God inhabits the praises of his people. Aren't you glad that God inhabits the praises of his people? Can we for a moment, can we lift our hands and our voice and praise him? God inhabits the praises of his people. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us that we can come worship you, magnify you, and lift your name. The name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We thank you, Lord, for this great church. And we thank you, Lord, for this place, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have visited us here, God, and that you are here. God bless your service today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. High five your neighbor. Amen. Tell them it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Again, it is an honor to be here. It was not my intent. My intent was as I was coming through, I was going to hang out. And I guess I am hanging out. But I didn't know I'd be hanging out up here. But nonetheless, God knows. Amen. It's great to be with you and to see you. All the ministry here. It's great to see my friends. I'm going to miss somebody, so I won't say anything. Just love y'all. And at the end of the service, I am so glad y'all got to see me. Just remember that, okay? No matter what we're doing, where we're going, where we're at, we are all creating some type of an atmosphere. And I want to just talk to you for a moment about my atmosphere of praise. My atmosphere of praise. We're creating an atmosphere wherever we're doing. Whatever we're sending out will eventually draw in things. Whatever we're sending out will draw things in. You and I, when we create a negative atmosphere, it will attract the negative, the discouragement, the defeated. It will attract those things where we're at if that's what we are creating. But we were created to have an atmosphere and to create an atmosphere of praise. This is where God inhabits the praises of his people when we create this atmosphere of praise. So God has a place in which he can be with us. Aren't you glad for this atmosphere that was here tonight in the worship? Aren't you glad that we just don't go through programs and read scriptures and words, but in this atmosphere that we create, the King of Glory shows up. The glory of God reveals himself and things begin to happen. This is our atmosphere. Aren't you glad for the atmosphere of praise? Psalm 34 and 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such to be a contrite spirit." God likes to draw and wants to draw near to us. The Lord is nigh unto them. When we get up in the morning, or maybe when we get off of work, or maybe when we go to work, are we thankful to be alive? Are we thankful to have a job? Are we thankful to go to the field that God has called us to do? Or do we murmur and complain about another day at another place? It's the atmosphere that we're creating. I said it's the atmosphere that we are creating. Those of you who have family, are you thankful for your children, or do you bless God, wish somebody else would? We'll just leave it at that. But we live in a world where it's all about selfishness, and we serve a God that is all about him. I said, it's all about him. You and I, are we thankful? We need to look around and see, are you thankful for God's favor? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let me tell you this, church, a faith-filled atmosphere is going to draw God into your presence where you are. A faith-filled atmosphere. Pay attention to the kind of atmosphere that you're creating, because you can make room for the King of Glory if you so choose to, by opening your mouth and utter the praises unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We and I, I don't know if that's a way, but that's how we are tonight. I'm tired. I'm sorry. Amen. But we, you, me, we cannot complain and expect to see a breakthrough. God inhabits the praises of his people. God does not inhabit the complaining of his people. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It is something that I choose to do. It is the same author that said, I encourage myself in the Lord. No one else stood with me. No one else is going to do it. But I surely can find something God has done in my life. He ain't done me nothing but good. We cannot complain and see a breakthrough. We cannot go around and talking about problems and thinking they're going to fix themselves. That negative atmosphere is what's stopping our victory. It's what's stopping God from coming into our places of homes, coming into our places of work. We need to walk around and say, this is still, the earth is still the Lord's. The earth still is the Lord's. Amen. Amen. Scripture that says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God does not inhabit frustrations. God does not inhabit complaints. God does not pay attention. And that is not what gets the attention of God. But what gets the attention of God is when you change that and you put your focus off of you, and I get my focus on him, and I begin to talk about his greatness. I begin to talk about his goodness. I begin to talk about what he has done and who he is, that he is still the King of glory. Amen. Thanking God. God will begin to step in. Going through the day being grateful, it begins to put a pep in your step. I said it begins to put a pep in your step. Being grateful, right? How many of you like to go to work, have the boss come and call you in and say, I'm going to give you a 25% increase. That puts a pep in your step. Is that right? Amen. All the people that want a 25% increase, say amen. Amen. That puts a pep in your step. My Bible tells me that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God inhabits everything and owns everything. The fullness of the Lord, it's all his. Amen. God does great things. Anyways, let's go on. Your dreams that God has given you, they look impossible. Don't talk about the impossibilities of that dream, but talk about the possibilities of your God. Psalms 34:1-3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You may be tempted to live a life of worry, stress, and complaining, but when you set those things aside and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation, I don't know how I'm going to get through that, and you change and you begin to magnify God, God does make a way that seems impossible. Impossible. Amen. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Again, he did not say magnify your problems. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Amen. Let's thank God. Lord, I thank you that you are all powerful. You are my healer, my protector, my deliverer, my way maker. God, you are what causes things to happen and to change. This is what causes God to show up. Show up. We're not begging him. We're not saying, God, you got to do it. We're not complaining. We're not telling him it's not fair. We're not worrying about it. We just walk away from it and said, in the midst of all of this confusion and darkness that I don't understand, I'm still going to praise you. Let's create an atmosphere of praise. Surely goodness and mercy. You still with me, boys? According to the word of God, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. There's something I can thank God for. If you can't thank God for anything else that happened to you this week, will you slowly turn around and see if you can peek on goodness and mercy still behind you? Because that's who our God is. If God said it, I believe it. It's still following me. All you married men, you're feeling something? What in the world is that? And all of a sudden you're pulling on something, and what is it? Right? We say, it's my wife's hair. Yeah, I used to say that, but now I begin to say, oh, it's that glory. You see, we've changed things because, you know what? It's just, it's annoyance, right? It's that hair of my wife's. I'm not being critical, but this is how we are sometimes. We don't recognize how God sees it. God doesn't see it as hair. He sees it as glory. But we call, we just call it hair. You say, well, I don't know where you're going with that. I'm talking about just being elementary. That's all I am. All my life is just elementary. I gotta remember. It's the wise that are confounded. It's those things that God wants us to just remember when we're in our innocence and I just don't understand. But God, I know you're still you. And maybe those little annoying hairs are to remind me that God's glory is still with me, Brother Grant. That's all I need. Know that God is still with me out of the small things. Let's go on. How many of you ever walked into the house and your spouse was in there baking all day? I'll tell you what. This is never, my wife, she used to homeschool our kids. I say she used to because she quit and the teacher wasn't getting paid very well. Well, actually, the kids grew up, but anyways, nonetheless. But my wife, there's times I would come home and I would open the door and I would smell it. And sometimes when the weather was nice and the door would be open, I could smell it walking up to the house. Here's what I noticed, that when there was an atmosphere and an aroma charged atmosphere, nobody had to tell me supper's ready. Nobody had to tell me we've been baking all day. Can smell that. Understand, this is what God feels when there is an atmosphere and he can sense it and he knows this is a place where I'm being called to and summoned to. It's a place where they are inviting me. The atmosphere is charged with it. The atmosphere is ready for me. And God is looking for that. But I need to create that atmosphere of praise. No one has to announce to me that I've cooked something. My nose knew exactly what was going on. Amen. What are you putting off? What is the aroma that God is smelling from us? What is my life putting off, if I could put it that way? What is my attitude putting off? What are my words putting off? What odors am I creating? Do I have a stinky attitude? Do I have a negative talk? Do I worry all the time? Those things is not what God inhabits. I'm reminded again as I'm have my grandkids with me that nobody ever had to teach my children, and now I've realized it the second time because apparently I didn't learn it the first time, that nobody had to teach my grandchildren how to throw a fit. All the moms said, and all the dads, nobody had to teach them how to do that. But I did notice that I had to teach them how to be good and kind and polite and grateful and respectful. Are you hearing me? See, we have a carnal nature that we don't even have to teach anybody how to go around with a stinky attitude, a bad attitude, a horrible attitude, looking down on people, looking down on things. But we need somebody to teach us how to be grateful and how to be thankful and how to be respectful and how to love the things of God, because that's who we are. God inhabits the praises of his people. So I need to start speaking good things and thanking God for waking me up this morning. Thank you, God, for the breath that he has given me. Thank you, God, for my family. In Ephesians 5, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Bible. Why? Because if I don't do that, my nature does something else. My nature does something else. The scripture tells us to make melody in our heart. Make melody in our heart. Well, I'm worried about this. That wasn't fair. I lost this. I've been going through this. We can all have those negative things over and over and over in our mind. But he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I have to sometimes fight about those things. And then when challenges come and obstacles come and mountains are big, you begin to hear, and I begin to hear myself say, but what if it doesn't work? But what if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't go so well? In the past, it just didn't seem to work. I didn't have what it took. This thing is going to be more stressful than it is going to be blessful. I just don't understand all of these things. And we begin to start closing off the place where God wants to inhabit. The scripture says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Squeeze an orange and what comes out of it is orange juice. When I'm stressed, what comes out of me? When I'm squeezed and pressured by life, what comes out of me? I don't know if I shared this with y'all or not. One time I was driving, and every once in a while, I'm not the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I think I am the greatest thing since oatmeal. So I'm lumpy sometimes, and that's okay. But my point is, I was driving one time, and all of a sudden, these lyrics just came to my head. I don't know if I shared this here or not. These lyrics came to my head, and I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. So I thought, I'd be smart to write this down because I do forget. So I pulled over to write down, unknowing where I was at, paying attention to what was going on other than what was happening in the truck while I was driving. And when I pulled over to write this thing down, I went from the driver's seat to the passenger seat because I pulled off an embankment that went like, toop. Literally, the grass was sticking through the passenger side. I got out of that truck. I walked around that thing, and this is just what come over me. I walked around that truck. I looked inside. Everything that was in the back was all laying on the cab or on the topper that was there. And it was, I'm like, oh. And I walked around that thing. And when I got right back around to where I started, I felt this thought come to me. And I said it out loud. God, I don't know what your intent is with your truck. If you want to smash it, I don't know how you're going to get out of here. That's what I said. Oh, yeah, that was a foolish thing to say, right? But that's what came over me, and that's what I said. And when I said that, I didn't have any worries. I didn't have any fears. I didn't have any anxieties because what I recognized was that I had no control over that situation, but I had control over how that situation was going to control me. Nonetheless, I don't know if you've ever tried to go up into the driver's seat when your truck and vehicle's like that, and it doesn't work very well, but I made it up there. And needless to say, I made it out of there. God made it out of there. But that's just what come over. So many times in life, we stub our spiritual toe, and we're just like, what am I supposed to do? But I've always believed, I'm going back to the truck, I've always believed that God gave me that truck. I've always believed that. And when that happened, that thought came to me, God, this is your truck. Why would you want to destroy it? That's just my elementary way. Take it for what, if it helps you, if it doesn't help you. But y'all remember Jonah? Remember our brother Jonah? Remember our boy Jonah? Yeah. Jonah ended up in the belly. And while he was there, just imagine how it was sitting there inside that creature. Imagine how it smelled in there. Maybe you feel like some of the situations you're in kind of smells like that. But just imagine the smell. Imagine the fluids and everything that was going around him. Just imagine that for a moment. And maybe even like Jonah. Maybe even like Jonah, we caused our own situation. I'm not saying anything other than just think about it for a moment. But Jonah, while he was there and he decided that, the Bible says in chapter 2, he would pray to the Lord out of the fish's belly. And he cried by reason. Verse number 2 says, and he said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. He said, this is where I cried from him. And he began to talk about, he said that I'm cast, verse 4, I'm cast out of thy sight. I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters are compassed about me. Even my soul is in depth. It's closed around about me. All this stuff is going on. And talking about where he is in the midst of this fish. And nothing's happening. But you continue down and you can see because complaining and talking about the situation, nothing changes. But when he turned his attention, verse 8, he says, and they that observe lying vanities forsake their own, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake to the fish and vomited upon dry land. Turn our situation, looking at where we are. And Jonah began to say, you know what? I'm not going to look at where I am anymore. I'm going to look to him. And when he began to look to him and talked about that, the Bible says that God caused the fish to spit him out. And even though the situation that got him there was his own doings, God sent him out of that belly of that fish to fulfill his purpose. What kind of atmosphere? What kind of praise? What are we giving off here? What is God asking us to do? I know we live in a real world, but focusing on our wayward children, and this talks to me, is not what's going to do it. But focusing on the God of our wayward children is what's going to do it. Focusing on the God of our wayward children. Focusing on the medical report is not what's going to do it. Focusing on the God of the God who has power over that medical report is what's going to do it. Amen. Focusing on the addiction is not going to do it. But focusing on the God who can break the addictions, that's what's going to do it. And when we begin to focus on these things, it creates an atmosphere of praise. And we begin to send up praise. And it begins to stir up our faith. And we begin to send up hope. And we begin to thank God that nothing is too hard for him. And we begin to thank God, amen, that he has put that purpose into my life. And he can put me back on that right road. And he can put my child back on that right road. And he can put that medical report back in the positive where it needs to be. There is not one person, not one sickness, not one addiction, not one force of darkness that can stop the hand of God. Except me. Except me. Because that's our choice. I choose to worship God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's a choice. But why are you still serving God when all your family's walked away and all these other things have happened? Come on, don't get your mind on those things. Your dreams haven't fulfilled. Come on, don't get your mind on those things. Maybe it isn't working according to your plan, but all things work together for good. They're all still in God's control. They're all still in God's plan. Amen. Praise Him. Psalms 50, verse 2. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. The New Living Translation says it this way: praise Him for His mighty works. Praise Him for His unequaled greatness. There's no God like our God. I said, there's no God like our God. Amen. Amen. Praise Him for His unequaled greatness. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise Him. When you're tempted to stop and complain and see about all the problems, praise Him for who He is. Remind yourself that He is the God that split the Red Sea. Remind Him that He is the God that answers by fire. Remind yourself, Lord, I praise You. You're bigger than this sickness. You're greater and stronger than this addiction. You're greater than this trouble that I'm in. God, I praise and worship You because You are still in control. We are creating an atmosphere of praise. And in this atmosphere, addictions and chains can break. And in this atmosphere, amen, attitudes can change. Amen. And in this atmosphere, healings can take place. He is the God of miracles. I come across this the other day. I won't share it. Never mind. Here's the problem, church, and I'm trying to be. Is everybody okay? If this isn't okay, it's your pastor's fault. I didn't come. And Roy, I'm sorry, Brother Grant. I'm sorry, I introduced myself while we were up there at the board meeting, just so you know. People were asking me my name. There's a lot of new people and stuff that were there, and you know, the reps and stuff like that that were there. And they asked me who I was, and just so you know, Brother Solberg, he was there. He can contest to this, but I introduced myself as Roy Grant because I'm fixing to tear some things up here today. I didn't get kicked out too long. They let me come back. But anyways, just letting you know that in case you get some phone calls. Oh, it's fun, right? Serving God is fun. I preached a message a while back. It said it's time to enjoy the journey. We need to have our joy in our journey, but let's go on. But what happens is, we wait for circumstances to change, and then we begin to praise God. And that's backwards. We wait for the report to change, and then we send up praise. But what if it doesn't? The what if it's not on me, it's on Him. I'm just doing what He's asked me to do. I said, I'm just doing what He's asked me to do. And what happens is when you do that, church, that's backwards. We're supposed to give God the first of everything. Not just our money, although we'll take that too. But we're to give God the first of everything. So that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth should be praise to God before you question the circumstance. Give thanks in all things. But I don't understand. I don't have to understand it. The old timers, they didn't understand it either, so they wrote a song about it and said, we'll understand it better by and by. Right? They didn't understand it either, so they just wrote a song about it. Well, I was going to ask you, what song is hidden inside of you? God is waiting to get out. But we have to give God praise first. You need to have a song in your heart. He tells us to sing from our heart, melodies, making melody. It has to come from our heart, not just our mouth. Nothing is changing. Then get your heart engaged in this. Don't just engage your mind. Get your heart engaged into it. Get yourself focused. When it looks like it's never going to work out, remember, He is still on the throne. I said, remember, he's still on the throne. I don't have to, but it's good for me to remind myself that when I married my wife, I married up, she married down. And all the ladies say amen. It's good to remind us that when we came into the family of God, we married up, God married down. Huh. I was nothing without God, but God didn't wait for me to show up to create this place. All right, let's go on. Are you still thanking God? Are you still making melody in your heart when the waves and the problems, the situation? Psalms 137 begins by this, and it says, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, we wept, and we remembered Zion. Verse 2, is it there? That's okay. Psalms 137, verse 2. Verse 2 is very important. It says, we kind of sat down by the river. We were remembering Zion. We remember all the good things. We remember what was happening. We remembered all the stuff that was going on. Verse 2 said, and in, this is just me, but in the process of remembering everything, Brother Grant, we hung up our harps. We hung up our harps, the Bible says, upon the willows in the midst thereof. And it says, and we were carried away captives. Those that carried us away, they required of us a song. They wanted us to sing. And they said, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. And verse 4 says, how shall we sing of the Lord's song in a strange land? They said they wept. They didn't know what to do. See, when life throws you a curveball, when life throws us obstacles, when life throws us some things, and we can look back and be reminded how good it used to be. It's amazing how the good old days are behind us. But when we were in those days, they weren't the good old days. They were still behind us. But when life throws us a curveball, it's easy to get discouraged. And we talk about how it used to be. It says that they sat down by the rivers of Babylon. Instead of praising God, what they did is they spent their time and their energy weeping and discouraged over what they had. Over what they had. Verse 2 says that they put away their harps and they hung them on the willow trees. And the captors said, why don't you sing us some of them songs we heard about? It's kind of like the world we live in today. Whatever happened to all the praise in the church? Whatever happened to all the praise of God's people? We don't have anything to praise God about anymore. Do you not see what's going on in this world? Do you not see what's happening, everything? And we're sitting down, and what has happened is we have hung up our harps, and we're sitting around, and we're talking about the problem. But I have to be reminded that my praise is what activates the atmosphere in which God can show up and make a difference. Sometimes you've heard it say, sometimes God calms the sea and sometimes God calms the child. If that's true, then maybe sometimes God gives you. You can't find anything to praise him about around you. Maybe God is going to give you something to praise about what's in you. Paul said, stir up that gift that's inside of you. Stir that thing up. Keep it going. Proverbs said, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And all the campers say, we lack fire. Me make them fire. But praise, do you not read in your Bible? In Acts, praise is what opened prison doors. Praise is what broke the chains. Praise. Praise is what made the difference. Church, I'm talking to me tonight as well as I'm talking to you and whoever is watching. Don't hang up your harp.
The world will tell you to quit. The world will tell you to stop. The world will tell you it ain't worth it. But listen, when you hang up your harp, you have lost the ability to be a changer. Sometimes you may need to be like Elisha. Elisha, the kings were going off to war, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not anybody here? Is there a prophet here that we can talk to? Is there a prophet here? And he says, there's one guy. You remember that? Yeah, there's one guy, but every time he opens his mouth, it's not good for me, and I don't want to hear it, so we don't bother him. Remember that? 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 14. Elisha said, this is in the midst when he was asking, Jehoshaphat was asking. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts, listen to this, it's very strong. As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely I would not regard thee except for Jehoshaphat. I wouldn't come here to talk to you. But the only reason I'm here is because of Jehoshaphat. That's what he says. That's what he says. But look at what else he says. The problem with that, Brother Grant, is even though he's the prophet, he's got the bad attitude. I'm not being critical. Don't stone me. Don't throw nothing. But he had a bad attitude. Sometimes I get a bad attitude. I said, sometimes I get a bad attitude too. Sometimes the environment is going on. Sometimes I've stubbed my toe. Sometimes I just don't see. Sometimes I just don't understand. Sometimes I just get frustrated. And like Elisha, the only reason I'm here is because of this. The only reason I'm here is because of this. And Elisha, the only reason he's here is because of Jehoshaphat. But let me go on. And he said, except I had respect for King Jehoshaphat. And this is what he says in verse number 15, 2 Kings 3 and 15. Everybody with me? What does it say? But now bring me a minstrel. Bring me a harp. Get me out of this attitude I'm in. Get me out of where I'm at right now, and I'm frustrated with you kings over here. But I can't utter what God wants me to utter, and I can't say what God wants me to say unless I change my attitude. And in order to change my attitude, I need to get my heart back so I can change my atmosphere. Isn't God good? I feel the Holy Ghost. Is it okay for me right now just to say, I feel the Holy Ghost? Can we just bow our heads right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understand what Elisha was saying. He says that I can't feel it right now. I'm not in the right place right now. I know I need to be doing something. I know Jehoshaphat is asking me, but I don't regard those other kings. But in order to get me back where I need to be, I need to get down the harp and I need to strum a chord. I need to strum a chord. I need to strum a chord. All my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you've been so. Come on, go ahead. With every breath, I taught all my shot. Come on, get the harps going. I will sing. Come on, all my life, come on. But you don't understand. You're right, I don't understand. Maybe you forgot where you put it. Maybe you forgot where you put it. You put your harp up so long ago, you don't remember. But God is saying, come on, get the harp back. Come on, get back the joy. Come on, begin to strum on it again. Come on, create an atmosphere where I can show up. Come on, create a place where I can inhabit my people.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Come on, do you feel the Holy Ghost? Come on, come play the harp. Come on, you feel the Holy Ghost? I'm inviting you right now. Come on. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Come on, feel the Holy Ghost. You have led me through the fire. Come on, strum a few chords. Let the Holy Ghost fall on this place. Oh, I will live in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath. Come on, shut the God, I just don't understand it. God, there's a lot of seaweed around me right now. God, it stinks where I am right now. God, I thought it'd be better where I am right now. But nothing's changed. Yeah, you're right. Something has changed. It's the atmosphere. Let's begin to worship God. Oh! Oh, come on, church. Oh, come on, church.
All my life you have been faithful.
Oh, all my life.
All my life you have been so, so good.
With every breath.
Every breath that I am made.
Oh, I will sing. Your goodness, God, your goodness. Do you see the goodness of God coming after you? Come on. Oh, let's play a few harps. Let's go get our harps. Come on, let's bring them down.
With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Oh,
with my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running.
You feel what happened here right now? When you begin to praise God, things begin to break and change. And that's what Elisha was saying. He says, I can't function. I can't do anything. Somebody needs to play a harp. Somebody needs to do something. And when they begin to play, the Bible says that God was able to speak to him and he was able to tell the kings what would happen. David said his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You're a great crowd. but he's a great God. And I understand we got problems. Things don't go my way all the time. But I don't remember signing a contract that said everything had to go my way. But I do remember reading the Word of God that in all things, Brother Grant, I have no idea to this day, 2 years, I have laid up the set of keys to my RV thinking I'm going to put them here so I don't forget them. And I have no idea where they're at. Don't let that be said about my harp. Don't let that be said about your praise. Don't let that be said about, I'm frustrated right now. I'm just going to disconnect myself from worship. Because one day turns into two, and two to 2 weeks, and 2 weeks to 2 months, and 2 months to 2 years, and 2 years to a lifetime. And you can't even remember where you put your keys. It's hard to go back to find your praise. I feel the Holy Ghost. All my life.
Such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Thank you so very much, Brother Scott Jacobs, for stopping by and visiting with us on your way home. It's kind of funny. I'm laughing because he mentions that scripture, the rivers of Babylon. They hung their harps. I heard a song today. I don't even know where I was. I haven't been too many places, so it should be easy to figure out. But remember that song? I think it was back in the 70s. Some group sang by the rivers of Babylon. Any of you grow up in that era? I heard that song, and I'm like, wow, a blast from the past. I haven't heard that in a long time. So then I went on YouTube to hear what it really was all about, and then he mentions it tonight. They weren't talking about the praises of the Lord, I don't think, but nevertheless, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in all of the frustrations of life. But get your harp out. Start singing. Thank you so very much, Brother Scott Jacobs. Praise God. Praise God. I believe that our children were in Christmas program practice tonight. I think they're all back in here. I see a little more children, so I don't know if you have to go get your kids yet or not. But shake hands with a brother or sister. Remember, Saturday morning, we have our ladies' annual ladies' retreat here. This is different than our marriage retreat that was last weekend. This is open for all ladies. And Sister Lindsay Simmons is our ladies minister here at Calvary. So if you have any questions, feel free to chat with her. And remember, we have Bridges Connection Group on Saturday evening, and as well as Hyphen Bonfire at Nate and Lauren Neesom's house. God bless you, and we will be back here Sunday morning for worship. God bless you.